That will serve as a summary. So if I can quickly go through Simon Tofresh, Ein Vov, Seif Hey, just to recap, it may going to be a good chazorah, just for a couple of minutes, before we proceed to Simon Tofresh, Ein Zayin. So Simon Tofresh, Ein Vov, Seif Hey, teaches us the following. With regards to the Seder, the order of lighting, Yastchil Hadlik Beleil Rishon, Bener Ayoisi Emini, a person should always light, according to Shulchan Aruch, you start lighting when you have the menorah in front of you, with a light on the extreme right. Uvil El Cheni on the second night, Kshiyosiv Ne'echot, when you add an additional candle, you add on its left, Echot Somuchlo, you add one on its left, Yaschil, you start, Vivorech Ala Noisav, on the second night, you make the bracha on the new light, Shehu Yoisa Smoili, which is now on the left, Kedel Lehafnois Lemin, because like this, when you proceed, as you are lighting, you always lighting, and then you proceed from the left to the right. V'chein b'leil shlishi, on the third night as well, k'shiyosif oid echot, when you're adding an additional light, samuch l'shtei neiros harishoinois, which are next to the first two candles, yaschal b'nois, if you always make the brocha, and you start lighting with a new one, which is on the left. Uvo yaschal ha-brocha, and that's where you're making the brocha, v'ach kach, and after that, yifne letzad, yemin, you go to the right direction. V'chein b'chol loylon, like this, and every night. Nimtzor comes out, shetomet mevorech ala noisav, you always make the bracha on the new light, shumoyer ala nes, because that's the one that shows the nes, shereb tesefes, yomim nisoyisav anes, every night there was an additional nes, a greater nes, and that's why we're making the bracha always on the new light. Now we mentioned that the Mishneh Berurah says that there's an additional two opinions in the Achronim. One opinion is that you actually always start on the right, you always start on the right-hand side, and then the first, the candle that you light first is always on the very right, and then you're going to go towards the left, which is an opinion in Achronim, which is actually based on the same concept than the Shulchan Aruch's opinion. They also hold you always have to go right. It's all based on the concept you have to go right. Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that you start, that you the lighting, the action of the lighting is going to go from left to the right, and the opinion of the Achronim is that we don't really paskin like them, but the Shulchan Aruch does, the Mishneh Berurah does, if somebody's got that minute, it's fine. You light first to the right, the first on the right, and then you go towards the left. But you're lighting the first on the right. So it's always about going right towards the right direction. And the third opinion, which is brought down in the Achronim, is the opinion that you always light the candle which is closest to the doorway, to the entrance, because the Ikka light, according to those Achronim, the Ikka light is the one by the entrance. And if you're not lighting by the door, this is not Nagia. Anyway, it's not relevant. But if you were to light by the door, you always light the one which is nearest by the Chalal HaPesach, the nearest to the entrance. We discussed as well that a lefty is no difference at all. Lefty will light the same way as well. And we mentioned as well that the Mishneh Berurah says a very important point, that according to our minhag, the way we light, a person should place himself a little bit towards the left-hand side in order not to run into trouble from the concept of en ma'avirin ala mitzvahs. As we know, a person may not pass over mitzvahs, not skip one mitzvah and go to the one further away. That's inappropriate, that's a bizarre mitzvah. And therefore, you always have to make sure that you do the mitzvah which is nearest to you, you do that one first. Therefore, the Mishneh Berurah points out, it's appropriate, one should, as you're lighting, you should put yourself a little bit to the left of the menorah. Like this, you're not going to run into trouble from en mavirin ala mitzvahs. Because if you're just opposite the menorah, you may be lighting the one on the left, which is the first one you're lighting. You may be lighting which is a bit further away, and therefore you're running into trouble from the concept of en mavirin ala mitzvahs. We also pointed out an interesting levushin Eli Rabba that speaks about Loshon HaKodesh. They want to bring a ray that maybe you have to light first one on the right, because that's the way you write. When you write, you always write from the right-hand side first. So maybe that's a comparison. But then we pointed out that the Eli Rabba points out that it's not a proof, because the way you're actually writing the letters is always from the left to the right. So that's not a good proof. Okay, that was basically what we spoke about yesterday in a nutshell. But that leads us to Simon Tov Reish Ein Zayin, which is Din Achsenoi B'Chanukah. Din Achsenoi B'Chanukah is probably one of the most complex sifim when it comes to Hilchas Chanukah. And he discussed the Achsenoi. Achsenoi is a guest. A guest has got its own halachas. Does a guest make his own hadlokas neiros Chanukah? Does he need to light, or can he just get away with a balabais?
So I guess he's just staying temporarily.
Good question. Part of the problem, yeah. So you're really going straight into the meat of the sugya. Is it temporary? What happens if he's just there for a day? What happens there for the Chanukah? There's all questions, very valid questions, which have to be identified. I must start with an important point which may clarify, otherwise we're going to get confused. A guest is somebody who's going to stay in somebody else's house. Now, the guest is an obligation. The achsano is not a tool. We're going to see that achsano is one way of getting of fulfilling the mitzvah is with hishtatfus beputa. If he gives a bit of money, if you've heard of that concept, that he gives a bit of money to the Baal HaBayis. So the Baal HaBayis is going to be the one lighting. The owner of the house is the one lighting. And the achsanoi, the guest, is the one who gives his mishtatef peputu, gives a bit of money for the oil to the owner, to the Baal HaBayis. Now, I must clarify that because it's true that it's a way of fulfilling the mitzvah. But more than that, it's actually, achsanoi is actually an obligation, a mechayiv, it's a chiyuv. That normally you'd expect if somebody, like our own children, for instance, our own children, do they have to light their own? Do they have to? I'm an ikadin. They don't have to. Why not? Yeah, why don't they have to? Even if they are over bar mitzvah. Yeah, do they have to? Ikadin, they don't have to. Why not? That's right. Because they're covered with that. Because it says, Neir Ishu Veisoi, every household needs to have one. Meikir Adin, it's really all Mahada. We all do the higher level of fulfillment. But really, Meikir Adin, Neir Ishu Veisoi, these are the key words. Neir Ishu Veisoi. Each house needs one menorah, which in fact needs one light per night. So that's the concept, Neir Ishu Veisoi. Now, therefore, the children don't really need to. Yes, often they are Mahada, and there's a fulfillment of Mahadrin, and Mahadrin and Mahadrin. But really, Neir Ishu Veisoi. So now, this is the point I'm saying that is really important for us to remember. And Achsanoi, what would you have said? A guest comes and he comes to your house. Let's say he's only coming for 3 days. He's sleeping 2 nights, 3 days, he's coming to your house. Can he fulfill his obligation by just, he said, oh, he doesn't feel comfortable lighting his own menorah in your house. Oh, you go for it, please. You know, you light and I'm just a guest here. I'm just a visitor. Can he do that or not? Like we're saying the children as well, right? Can a visitor comes to your house for 3 days? No, I don't feel comfortable. No, please just... ignore me. I do as if I'm not here. You know that kind of lingo? As if I'm not here. Yeah? Does he have an obligation? Why not? Why the children don't? Why is he different than the children? Pardon? Yeah, but if they're over by mitzvah. Say if you've got children over by mitzvah. Do they have to light their own? They're part of the family. Right. What about this achsanoi? What about this? Very good. Very good. Yes?
Rob mentioned previously homeless, they have no
good. Correct.
The year that we were traveling on Hanukkah, we asked the Dayan and he said, no, you can do, you can't.
Very good.
So, in summer, it's not worse than that.
Good. Good. You're raising an interesting point, and the Achronim speak about that, and Ma'asham and others speak about that. I'll give me 30 seconds and I'll get to your point. So the point over here is, with regards to an achsanoi, is that an achsanoi is actually, he has an obligation, I'll get to your point in a minute, an achsanoi has an obligation to fulfill mitzvah hadlokas nei Chanukah, but he cannot exempt himself with the hadlokah of the house, because he's not really part of the house. He's not really part of the house. He's a visitor, he's a guest. He's not really part of the house. So he can't, just the Baal HaBayis lighting, the person has not fulfilled his obligation. So we have to realize that the starting point of an achsanoi is a mechayiv, an obligation. He needs to light. Now, Chachomim have made a way that he can get away with it. And that's by, he doesn't actually have to light. He can actually mishtatef beputa. He can give a puta, which is 5 pence, to the Baal HaBayis. He says, you know, the oil that you're lighting, you know, have me in mind as well. And you give him 5 pence to the... you're allowed to be a bit more generous than that. But you can't just give a minute amount of money. And by that you have... So now the hadlok is you're fulfilling the mitzvah with this ishtatfus beputa. But what would you say? If the oireach wants to light his own, can he? What if he feels a bit more comfortable? He says, you know, I'll light here. You'll find your own place. You invited me, haven't you? So I'll take this window. You find your own place. Can he do that? Can he light his own menorah or not? The achsanoi. Can he? Exactly. Says the Mishnah Berurah. You're quite right. That, yes, he can for sure light his own if he wants. For sure he can. In fact, he has an obligation. Chachomim have found a way out that he can be mishtat of a puta. But if he wants to light his own, certainly he can. And according to Mishnah Berurah, even says it's the best way. If he can, he should. So that's with regards to right. Now, I'm just getting back to your point, which is a very valid point. Masham speaks about other achronim as well. You're quite right that a person... So the point that you're raising is, somebody hasn't got a house. Is he obligated? Say somebody who's traveling. That's a good example. Somebody's traveling. He's traveling from England to New Zealand for a business trip, for a simcha, whatever it may be. Now, has he got an obligation to light? Never mind his family now. Never mind. It's true that the family is going to be a topic on its own lighting for him. We're going to get to all that. But has he got an obligation to light? Never mind his family. Has he got an obligation or not? In the plane. He's in the plane now for 27 hours. In the train. Has he got? So the Achoin Masham, they say that he hasn't got. If you haven't got a house, you're not part of the mitzvah. You don't have to light. If you haven't got a house, you haven't got. So you're asking a question. Well, if that's the case, then why does the Achsanoi need to light? What's the answer? That's right. So the answer is because according to Chachamim, an Achsanoi is considered that it has got a house. If you haven't got a house at all, if you're in a ship, you're in a plane, you're in a train, that's not considered having your house. But if you're an Achsanoi, to some extent, that's where you're living now, right? That's where you're living now. So it's different than the ship, the boat, and the train. It's different than the person who's in a tank, which Shlomo Zalman speaks about. You've got a house now. That's where you're staying. So therefore, you have an obligation. An Achsanoi should light. An Achsanoi should light. It's different.
Only if you're staying by Eden.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Is there a difference?
We're going to get to that. That's a very, very good point. We will get to that. We'll get to that. Of course, Nafka Min is going to be a yeshiva bachim. Do yeshiva bachim need to light? Can they just exempt themselves in any other way? How does that work with yeshiva bachim? Yeah.
The son is already paying fees to the yeshiva, or someone who's lodging is already paying rent.
Yeah, we'll get to that as well. Very good point. Very good point. So let us see the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tofresh, Ein Zayin, Seif Aleph. Achsanoi, a guest. She'ein madlikin olav beveisoi. Now, nobody's lighting for him in his house. So yeah, his house did not light for him. Tzorich lo seis puta. He needs to give a puta. How would you translate the puta? Just a tiny amount. What's that? Yeah, absolutely. Le balabais, to the balabais. Le ishtatef imoi, to join him, beshemen shalnei Chanukah, to join him for the oil of Chanukah. So that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Now I want to first focus on the Mishneh Berurah Seif Katan Aleph, which addresses a little bit of what you are saying. Achsanoi, v'hu adin habachim shaloim dim shaloi beveisam, says the Mishneh Berurah. Bachim, who are learning not in their own houses, Bachim, who are out of town, they need to be mishtatev in puta as well. They need to be mishtatev in puta. V'davka bevochel she'oichal b'fnei atzmoi. This is only with regards to a bacha who is eating independently on his own. Aval im samuch al shulchan balabais. But if he is eating, if he's relying on the balabais, he's eating by the table, literally, of the balabais. Meaning, because in previous generations, there was take, the concept of take. That the invention of domes is quite a recent invention. Bochim used to, for many centuries, learn in Ebes Medrash, but they wouldn't be able to sleep. There was no dormitory facilities there. So where did they eat and where did they sleep? They slept by families of richer families nearby. And they would actually get the balabatim would normally get paid for it, but they would feed the bochim. That's what they would sleep and that they would eat. And that was called take. And just as a footnote, I can't mention the word take without mentioning my great grandfather Chayin Vacha. My grandfather Chayin Vacha, he was the one, apparently, so I hear from his talmidim, he was the one who invented dorms in the Hungarian yeshivas. He was the first one who had he had yeshiva, and he was the first one who had. Dormitories in his yeshiva. So I heard from his talmidim. But it was called take. So that's what Mishnah Berurah is referring to. If he's eating by the balabais, who bichlal bnei beisoi? Yes, certainly. If he's eating by the family, he's like part of that family. Even if it's not literally a son, but if he's part there, he's staying there for months, if not for years. He doesn't have to light. You know, that is part of the house. Vuadin Meshalsav, also people's servants. Kivin Shem Smuchin al Shulchan Bikvias. If a person is lucky enough to have servants, they are part of the family, they're part of the household. Medina and Tzorich Lahadik, Alem Ken Rotzelios Mina Mahadin. They won't have to actually light. They can be part of the main lighting of the father, of the Balabais. They don't really have to light. So Meshasim and even Bachim who are sleeping, they're literally living in that household, they're not considered achsanoim. They're not considered guests. And therefore, they can just be yotze with the fulfillment of the balabais. Of course, if you want to be mahadrin, like anybody else can be a mahadrin at his own. But that's not, it doesn't have to. Yeah? Does that make sense? I think the introduction is very important. Yeah. Yes? Did you want to? Yeah. Now, the Mishabura Seif Kotten, here that Poiskim ask an interesting question. What happens if a son, a married son, with his wife, is staying for Hanukkah in his parents' house? Okay, imagine you're married, you've got kids, but for Hanukkah you can't bear the thought of, your wife can't bear the thought of making latkes. It's just too much. So you're going to your parents' house. Who else? Yeah. Yeah. Say you're sleeping there for 3 nights, or say you're sleeping there the whole Hanukkah even. Okay, that's where you're staying for the moment. Can you be yotze with the hadlaka of your father? Your own father. Your shver, I'm not even mentioning. But your father. Can you be yotze with the hadlaka of your father? A son who lives there can be. Even over a mitzvah. But there's a bit of difference because he's married now. He's got children. He's got his own house. What would you have said? What are you tying it? Go to your parents? Hanukkah? You have to do that your own. Standing on your 2 feet. Standing on. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. Poiskim agree absolutely to what you're saying. That yes, a person who's got his own house, he's married with children, cannot be yotze with your own father's hadlaka anymore. You can't. Even if you're staying there, the poskim say, even if you're poskim for the whole Hanukkah, you can't. You're not soymich al shulchan aviv. You know what? Even, what would you have said? Obi da locha if he still financially supports you. Have you ever heard of such a concept? Parents supporting children? So even if there is such a thing, even if he still supports that father, the halacha is actually, according to the poskim, that no, he can't be yotze with the father's hadlaka. He needs to light his own. Yeah. Right. It's a good question, and we will address this at greater length. But based on what we've learned now, what would you say? We're going to get to more details. We're going to get into greater details. Right. What would you say? Based on what we know now, can you be yotze? Can you be yotze in Adlokah Els in a different house? Can I be going to your house and light there? Yeah, because the obligation is a neir ishuvesoy. It's got something to do with your own house. So now the question is, it's a pashtus that first, the starting point is that you can't light in somebody else's house. The question is only going to be, can you somehow uproot your house? Is there such a concept of uprooting your house and consider yourself, I'm part of this house now for the next 4 hours? Does that work? Yes, so that's going to be a question. But we have to realize that really, the starting point is certainly not, you can't light in somebody else's house. Yeah, so the etzah would have to be, if you can't light in somebody else's house, the etzah would have to be, according to us here in Chutz La'aretz, that we light inside, it's not such a huge problem. Because you light at home later, yeah, you're not going to, yeah. Right, now the Mishnah Berurah Seif Kotten Beis is a widely quoted Mishnah Berurah. He says the following, Seif Kotten Beis. She'en madlikin alav beisoy. So this goes a little bit off topic, but not really. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch in fact says, a guest who nobody lights for him in his house, he needs to be mishtatev b'puta. So what does that imply? A guest, say you are a guest in somebody else's house. Shulchan Aruch says, if nobody lights for you in your own house, you have to be mishtatev v'puta. You have to sort yourself out in the house where you're staying. You have to be mishtatev v'puta. So what does that imply? That if somebody does light for you in your own house, even if you are a visitor elsewhere, you're yotze. Does that make sense? Let's see the words of Shulchan Aruch again. Achsanoi, a guest. She'ein madlikin olav beveisoi. a guest that nobody lights on his behalf in his own house, so he lost his put to the balabais. He needs to give a put to the balabais. He needs to sort himself out. But that clearly implies that if you are a guest by your cousin in Singapore, have you got a guest a cousin in Singapore? Oh, in Timbuktu. Okay, so if you're in Timbuktu for Hanukkah, you're visiting your cousin. So then, but if your wife is lighting in your own house, your wife is lighting, sounds like your yoitzer. That's what it sounds like. Because somebody's lighting for you in your own house. Yes? I want to get, that was my next question. That was going to be my next question, but we need to see three lines of Mishnah for that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ein madlik nor beveisoi ki medina." Because of my ikra din, "Kshe'ish te madlek es ne'er Chanukah beveisoi." When his wife lights for him the ne'er Chanukah in his own house, who yoitz dechavosoi? He's fulfilling his obligation. Be'ad lakos so when she lights, af shehu, although he is be'mokayim rochok in a distant place, mebeisoi from his house, ve'en tzorich. And he does not need to add a put. He doesn't need to do that. So we're learning now very clearly. If your wife lights in your house, even if you are distant, you're far away, you're yoitze, you don't have to do mishtatev a put wherever you're staying. Okay. Now the first question I'm going to address, because that's what you're mentioning now. What happens if a different time zone? What a beautiful question. What happens if you're taka in Singapore, or you're taka in New York, and it's a different time zone, and your wife is lighting, and she'd love to help you, as always, and she's like, but it's a different time zone. You're 7 hours behind or 7 hours ahead, and when she's lighting, it's not your right time for you. Skype. What about Skype? That's a good one. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, you have to do it the wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way around. Yeah. Yeah, what do you think, Abu Isai? If it's a different time zone, does it matter, yes or no? What if it's still yours, man chiyuv? It's still Zman Chiyuv. That's fine. You're saying that if it's not Zman Chiyuv, then he's saying that it would be...
I don't know. I could hear someone want to say, I'm lighting to be passed to someone, and then by the time he's there's already a
Ptur. There's a Ptur already. It's happened already. Okay, we'll get to a similar Svara. It's probably fine. Why is that? Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to start with Dain Weiss, and after this I'm going to get to you and Abshalom Zalman. Dain Weiss says, now I must tell you, I'm raising my hands a little bit, because he's medayek this very Mishnah Berurah that we're learning now. He says, he addresses the question. This question was asked, what if, that's the tshuva that Dain Weiss addressed, Min Chassid Chok, is mamash about that. What if somebody's in a different time zone? Mishnah Berurah then, the Dain Weiss says, I have a proof from the Mishnah Berurah that it's okay. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkotten base, Kimedina Ksheisha Madlekis and Chanukah Beveso, Yoitze Chavos Madlekose, Av Shubamok Brochim Beveso. Your Yoitze with your wife's Adloka, even if she's really far. So if it says Dain Weiss, Mokheim Rochoik, surely he's talking about a different time zone. That's what Dain Weiss says. And that. Right. What do you think, Abu Isai, about Rabbi Yossi's point? What do you think about that? Yeah. So that's why I said I'm raising my hands about this Dain Weiss a little bit. That's right. So what do you think about Dain Weiss's point? You'd argue that Mishnah. The truth is, Mishnah Berurah was this Chelik Mishnah Berurah was written less than 100 years ago, it's not true. But 100 years ago, people 100 years ago, America was already. It's true. That, I mean, I hear a bit where you could argue, Makom Rachok, you know, it was true, it's true that the globalization didn't happen yet to a certain extent, and it, you know, the traveling has much become much easier. But nevertheless, there was such a concept that Makom Rachok. But I agree that I can't really sit in the Mishneh Berurah. I agree with you. I can't really sit in the Mishneh Berurah. I don't see how you can be medayek the Mishneh Berurah, meaning even a different time zone. I can't really see that. But that's what Dan Weiss says. If I can just add, because Reb Shlomo Zalman Mamash says what you were saying. Absolutely. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that, yes, if your wife flies, even if it's a different time zone, he says, never mind this Mishneh Berurah, it doesn't quote this Mishneh Berurah. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, it's fine. Because, as you said very accurately, Neir Ishoveisoy, you are, to some extent, connected to your own house. You are connected to your own house. There is still that connection there. And therefore, you, by being in a different time zone, that doesn't take away that connection. Therefore, if your wife flies, even if it's a different time zone, Neir Ishoveisoy, the connection is still there. And therefore, by her lighting, she's taken away your obligation, your pot already, and therefore you wouldn't have to mishtatev and put wherever you are. Right. That's exactly that discussion, Gavra versus Chevtza. And the start, there's very much of both in Hadlokas Neir Chanukah, very much of both. But the starting point, according to Shlomo Zalman, as far as this is concerned, is the bias. And since the bias is potter, therefore you, still being connected to that bias, you have fulfilled your obligation already. But I hear what you're saying, and it's something that can be discussed. But that's what Shlomo Zalman's understanding is. That's how he understands it. And therefore, somebody, even if a different time zone, a person doesn't have to worry about it. If his wife lights, there are cholkem, and I don't know what the minig is. Have you ever been abroad? Chanukah, did you light your own? Yeah, it's not a nice time to be away. It's not a nice time. But if somebody is... So, Dan Weiss, Mishlem, pardon? Dan Weiss, Mishlem, they both say it's not necessary, but there are cholkim, there are people who are machmir. Okay.